It's a me problem, not a. What's funny is, a lot of stuff goes on in the background when we're getting ready for a worship service, and batteries is one of those things. When I went back and took the mic, Aaron said, "You know, we changed the batteries all at the same time," and then he just smiled. So here we are, and I really think that a lot of times Satan and the world, the ways of the world, try to keep us from hearing God and experiencing God. And what happens is, when God has something to say to us, we push through that, and we hear God in a powerful way. And thank you, Laura. Was there a sense of panic when you were going to take that mic? Is it going to work? Yeah. You did great. You did great. All right, kids, enjoy that. And parents, you can be jealous of the sparkly explosions that are going on in your children's mouths right now. So throughout the summer months, we're going to be looking at the first Jesus people, the first apostles, the lives of the apostles, those that knew Jesus first and most intimately. And today, as you heard from Laura, we will hear and begin with Andrew. And this is the perfect disciple to talk about the Sunday before VBS, because he's known for a lot of significant things, but most significantly is his willingness to take anyone to Christ. And Laura shared with us a few of those folks, to take those people to Christ and then let Christ transform their lives. But of course, there's more, and we're going to look at those things this morning and then consider how those characteristics of Andrew might apply to us and how we might express those same characteristics as disciples of Jesus. First, Andrew is known as the brother of Peter. Look in the scriptures. Andrew is known as Peter's brother, Simon Peter. He's not one of the disciples in the inner circle. He's one of those other disciples. He's not like Peter, James, or John. Again and again and again, he's referred to the brother of Simon Peter, or Simon Peter's brother. And it's clear that he lived under that shadow as you read through Scripture. Everyone knew him as Simon Peter's brother. And perhaps you have that at work in your life as well. Think about that for a minute. For me, when I was growing up, I was known as Jack Cockrum's son. That was me, which was great because everyone loved my dad. He was well known and well loved. He worked in places where a lot of people in Waco knew him. Everyone knew and loved Jack Cockrum. At his funeral, even, as a matter of fact, the song y'all sang at the offering, we played at his funeral. So things were going on in my head that were pretty neat as I consider this piece. But at his funeral, when you mention those people that he's left behind, we mention those like my mom or his three children and their spouses, the 10 grandchildren, the many nieces and nephews and cousins. And then there was this last phrase that we used, and all the adopted kids that called him Dad C. That's the kind of person my dad was. There were all kinds of friends and neighbors and people that called him Dad or Dad C. And when we read that to the congregation that gathered to celebrate his life, you could see a lot of people that sat up in their seat, that smiled, because those people, this was important to them. And to be acknowledged as one of his adopted kids, it meant a lot to be known as one of Jack Cockrum's adopted kids. Which, by the way, this will tie into Andrew a little later, but which, by the way, included a person that my father met through prison ministry named Derek, who actually contacted him just days before he passed. Dad meant a lot to Derek because, like Andrew, Dad led Derek to Jesus and let Jesus transform his life, even in prison. It was a good thing to be called Jack Cockrum's son. Still is. It's a badge of honor that only two of us get to wear, my brother and I. And it's a great honor even to this day after his passing. Later on, I had the privilege of serving in a few churches, three churches in the Waco area, and serving in many different ways on Baylor's campus and getting to know people from the seminary and all around Baylor's campus. I got to know a lot of people. One day my dad said to me, "Why is it now when I meet a new person, they always ask, 'Hey, are you Jeff Cockrum's dad? He joked about it. Like, when did that happen? When did I go from being your dad to Jeff Cockrum's dad? After joking about how humbling it was, though, he would say, he always said that he carried that title with a sense of pride. It's that kind of thing that we have. We're given titles just by circumstances. And I wonder if Andrew felt the same way about being called Simon Peter's brother. The sense of pride about being known as someone else's. So I ask this question for you this morning. Who is the Andrew in your life? Who are you an Andrew for? Can you receive either title with humility and use it to glorify Jesus? Use it to lead others to Jesus like Andrew? Something to consider this morning as we think about serving and following Christ. Another fact that we know about Andrew is that he is the first of all the disciples to be called and the first to respond to that calling. He and Simon Peter had a crew of fishermen friends, four we know about, that all shared these common interests, so much so that they apparently took a break from their fishing endeavors to visit a guy that we all know as John the Baptist out in the wilderness, as we read earlier in the passage from that Aaron read for us. And there they became disciples of John the Baptist, where they would then eventually meet Jesus. Later on, they would be called by Jesus, by that sea, to be fishers of people, to be sent out. That's what the word apostle means, to be sent out on behalf of Jesus. And Andrew went to great lengths to discover who this Messiah is, and is this the Messiah? And when he did, when he found Jesus as the Messiah, he was quick to respond. So the question I have in this regard is, what are you doing in your life to go to great lengths to discover the Messiah we call as Jesus Christ, we know as Jesus Christ? And then when you find Jesus in your life and in the world around you, how quickly are you to respond and join him at work? Another fact about Andrew, of all the disciples, of all the apostles, Andrew is the least conspicuous. His name only appears in the New Testament a total of 9 times, and most of them are just simple mentions. And interestingly enough, He certainly seemed quite content to play that secondary role. He was okay not being on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we believe. He was okay not being in the Garden of Gethsemane, two really significant events in the life of Christ where it was mentioned that Peter, James, and John joined Jesus, but not Andrew. It seems that matters of precedence and place and honor didn't matter as much to him as it did those other disciples who argued about who was the greatest and who would be at his right hand and those types of things. All that mattered to Andrew was knowing Jesus and being in the presence of Jesus to serve him as well as he could with what he had to offer, to bring other people, no matter who they are, to Jesus and fill whatever role that was required of him. I wonder if we can say that. And I wonder what kind of world that Christ could make in and through us if we were like Andrew in that way. So if you haven't picked up on the most consistent theme we've talked about this morning from Andrew, let me say it again. He was always willing, he was always the one who would introduce people, anyone, to Jesus. He would bring them to Jesus. He was content to merely point to Jesus, to bring others to Jesus. He was apt to bring anyone to Jesus, and then leave the results of the transformation in their life to Jesus. He didn't try to fix people on his own or tell them how to present themselves before they approached Jesus. He just brought them to Jesus and let Jesus sort it out. We have three powerful examples from Scripture, and Laura already mentioned them. The first is from our story in today's passage when he brings his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. And we know that Peter would then become the most outspoken disciple, the rock, we know, a very important cog in the ministry of Jesus on earth. And Andrew is the person that brought him to Jesus and let Jesus transform him. Later, Peter is also known as the central piece in the beginning of this movement of Christianity throughout the world and the early church after Jesus' death, resurrection, and imparting of Holy Spirit to his followers. And Andrew is the one who led Peter to Jesus. Pretty remarkable to think about that. Then you may remember the story in John 6, 8, and 9, when Andrew brings the boy with five loaves and two small fish to Jesus, from which Jesus fed thousands upon thousands of people. And then in John 12:22, he brings these inquiring Greeks into the presence of Jesus, and then Jesus then welcomes them into the kingdom of God. It was Andrew's great joy to bring people to Jesus and to allow Jesus to transform him with the work and love of Christ that comes from his Spirit that he pours out on us. Andrew stands out as a person whose greatest desire was to lead others to the presence of Jesus, to share in the love and glory of God through Jesus in personal ways. You could say that Andrew had the heart of a missionary. Having found the friendship and love of Jesus, he wanted others to find the same thing and share that experience with them. And he spent his life introducing others to that same love and friendship, and big things happened when he did. Movements began, the Christian movement. People were fed, needs were met. Those who previously were not allowed to be loved by God were welcomed and loved by Christ. So the question is the one that's been asked to you several times this morning. Well, I'll ask again, who are you leading to Jesus right now? What might be stopping you? And how might you address that? Who is someone in your life that you should be leading to Jesus right now? And what might happen if each one of us in this room lived as Andrew lived and led others to the presence of Jesus? What movement might Christ begin in us and through us? How many people might find Jesus through having their needs met? How many people might be welcomed into the loving embrace of Christ if we would so lead others to Jesus, like Andrew did? In today's world, it wouldn't look like the brash, outspoken formula that Peter displayed, his brother. It would actually mean being more like Jesus, being the physical presence of Jesus to people around you, serving and loving and treating others like Jesus treated people, welcoming them in and caring for their relationship with Christ. Andrew didn't attempt to stand out. He was satisfied making others look good and supporting others in ministry and being in the background but leading when it was necessary. This is how he brought folks to Christ. And importantly, he saw the value of each person he came in contact with. And he wanted them to find that value in themselves and embrace it as well and give it to God, to give it to Christ for his use, empowering people to do something remarkable with their God-given talents and gifts and leading them to the power and love of Christ. He saw people as individuals of worth, even if it was a small boy, a child who in those days were viewed as property to people. Or the Greeks, who in those days were viewed as unredeemable to God. And interestingly enough, he wasn't worth much in society either. He was a simple fisherman, kind of an outcast himself. And in the account in which Andrew takes these Greeks to Jesus, they originally, you'll notice, they originally approach Philip about seeing Jesus. But what did Philip do? Our guess is he got a little uncomfortable, took them to Andrew because he knew Andrew would then take them to Jesus. Because Andrew would see them as worthy of being introduced to Jesus. Andrew would see Jesus as someone everyone should meet. And of course, Andrew took them to Jesus. My dad was that way too. He saw every person as valuable and capable. He spent decades working in human resources at M&M Mars, and he gave people chances that some of his co-workers wouldn't have. He worked in prison ministry for years, and he saw the value in every life that was held behind those bars, even if the guy went by the name The Zipper. I kid you not. He had a friend named The Zipper. But to my dad, every person had value. Every person had some silver lining, some diamond in the rough, and was worthy of being led to Jesus. Andrew was the same way. No person, no gift that that person has to offer is insignificant in the hands of Christ. And so I wonder what the world would be like. I wonder what the world would be like if we saw others the way Andrew saw others. I wonder what the world would be like if we never underestimated what God could do with what others have to offer. Andrew's legacy is simple. He was an effective follower of Christ. He was one who was willing to work in the shadows if it was required of him. One who had great expectations of Christ and what Christ could do. He was one who saw that little things mattered. He was one who saw that everyone is valuable and should be led to Christ. And he was one who allowed Christ to do the work in and through others that would make the world a better place, that would make others find Jesus. To live like Andrew is a calling that is natural for some of us. We like playing in the shadows. We have the passion for people. And it's more challenging for others. But we all can find a way to live like Andrew. And I wonder what the world would look like if we did. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these disciples, these first people who saw Jesus and the impact that he had on their lives. Thank you that we can learn from their experiences with him, that we can learn from their personalities, their characteristics. And Lord, I thank you today for Andrew and the life that he lived and the life that he showed us, the good things about his person and his character, and how we can learn from those and maybe practice them, even if it makes us uncomfortable. And Lord, we know that in our discomfort, you can grow us into something and you can make something happen even more powerful. So God, we give ourselves to you. Whatever you would have us do to serve like Andrew, to see the world like Andrew, to see people like Andrew, to lead others to you like Andrew, whatever we need to do, God, make that clear to us today and challenge us and convict us to respond accordingly. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a time of invitation like we do each week. I'll be standing here at the front. You can come down to me and we'll pray together. We'll share your decision with the church body, or you may just need to pray there and sing at your seat. Whatever you need to do to respond to what God is calling on you to do this morning, let's stand together, sing the song, and do just that. Righteousness, he humbled.
cross. Love so